You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
And from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, it is the Gym Class on this Tuesday afternoon here on KGYM. 4 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Great to have you aboard on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the KGYM radio stream, KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker as well. Scott Unash with you, Ben on the other side of the glass, Mark Dukes joining me coming up in a moment from his home on the southwest side. Good program for you today. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us. It will be our Off the Glass segment, usually on Thursdays, coming your way on a Tuesday because it is a shortened week this week. We'll talk college hoops with Kevin coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, going a little bit early today as we talk Iowa and Iowa State, the Mo Valley, the Paradise Jam. Tonight's big game between Gonzaga and UCLA. That will be played out on the West Coast. A lot of hoops to get to on the program today. We'll talk Iowa-Nebraska, let you know what Kirk Ferentz had to say today at his news conference in Iowa City. And just take a look ahead to Black Friday as Iowa and Nebraska get ready to tangle. Iowa State takes on TCU also coming up on Friday as well. Your comments always welcome at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And again, thank you for tuning in here on this Tuesday afternoon. As Mark joins me here as we get going here through the 3 o'clock hour, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com, our presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program each and every day right here on KGYM. How's your Tuesday going?
Tuesday's going great, Scott. Hope it is for you and everyone else out there. And not a lot that I've seen trickle out from Iowa City today. The players' portion of interviews, punter Torrey Taylor, the Australian, said he will be back next year. Iowa fans applauding that announcement and indicated he may play a year after that. But as far as Kirk Ferentz, the normal things you would expect in terms of Spencer Petras working well this week in practice, but Alex Padilla will be the quarterback. Gave updates that we've already given earlier from the depth charts that some players will not see action this week, including Matt Hankins and a couple others. So there's where we're at.
Yeah, it is. And Terry Roberts, iffy, Hankins out. Jack Kerner practicing today. Kirk says, we'll see. Mason Richmond, the offensive tackle, has a chance to play and see how that goes the rest of the week. That according to Kirk today as far as the injury front. To be honest with you, going into game 12, week 13, I was pretty good shape right now. You all things considered as far as injuries. They haven't had a lot of them in 2021 as you look back.
Not particularly. They've been dinged up on the offensive line and a little bit in the defensive backfield. We know about Spencer Petras missing a couple games now. But by and large, yeah, the running backs have been intact. The wide receivers, by and large, Charlie Jones nicked up a little bit last week against Illinois. But yeah, generally speaking, it's been pretty darn good through 11 games.
Has not been that bad. No doubt about that. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. 319-366-1600 also is our phone line as well. If you'd like to weigh in on the program today, and yes, 0189. I have seen the famous obit now from Hastings, Nebraska. By the way, I have been to Hastings, Nebraska, Mark. Check that off my bucket list.
I have not. Did you get an invitation to go to Hastings College or what?
No. Growing up, my parents had good friends that lived in Nebraska and managed a grocery store, a chain grocery store. I don't even know what the heck it was called. It wasn't a huge one, but it was based in Nebraska and moved to one of the locations that we visited them at. So that's bad English. I apologize. Was Hastings, Nebraska. So I have been there. It's a, from what I remember, an absolutely wonderful garden spot.
Well, I'll take your word for that. The obituary is from a gentleman named Milton Munson Jr., RIP, sir. But he's a longtime Nebraska fan. And it's kind of funny that really the obituary talks about the Huskers being jobbed by referees against Penn State in 82 and so on and so forth. It's very unusual tribute to the man, but he would have liked nothing more to see a Nebraska victory come Friday.
I bet. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. And that is the essence of rivalry right there. I got to say, I have been enjoying the snippets of, you know, it is rivalry week, and there is none bigger probably than the two, the Iron Bowl, Auburn and Alabama, as well as the game, Ohio State and Michigan. And I've been very much enjoying all of the trips down memory lane as far as Ohio State and Michigan and that rivalry is concerned. And if you've not seen those on social media, social networking, please check those out. There's some good ones. You know, Michigan and Ohio State going at it in the tunnel in Ann Arbor, of course, the famous 1973 when Ohio State came out of the tunnel at Michigan Stadium and tore down the famous M Club banner that Michigan jumps and touches as they come out of their tunnel going onto the field. There's some good. I don't condone any of this, Mark. I don't condone any of this, but it is fun to go down that road again.
Yeah, it's been a while, though. How can they call it the game when Ohio State's won 10 out of the last 11? Yeah, it's a great rivalry, got great tradition, got great stories in the past, but in recent times, it hasn't been any kind of game.
No. 319-366-1600. You like to comment on that and other things here today. We are going to talk to Kevin Lehman coming up in just a couple of moments. We will then talk a little bit about Iowa and Nebraska, tell you what Kirk Ferentz had to say otherwise today. We gave you the big headlines, what Kirk had to say today, so we'll kick that around a little bit more on the program. Of course, getting underway in earnest tonight around the state of Iowa, you've got girls basketball, and most teams, well, quite a few of the teams getting underway. We've got a game tonight, CRM Live Sports, at about 7:20 on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. We've got Xavier hosting Davenport Assumption in girls basketball tonight, as Steve Dozier and I will have the call out at the Ron Dillon Gymnasium tonight, 7:20. Again, that is on CRM Live Sports with Xavier and Assumption going at it this evening. We also had the release of the All-State football teams last night at midnight, put together by all the writers around the state of Iowa, as well as football coaches. And I think for the most part, everybody that deserved to be on a team was placed on a team. You have, as you know, Mark, going through those meetings, they can be a little bit convoluted at times. They can get a little bit, a little testy at times as well. And sometimes you use a little poetic license to get people onto a team in a position, but, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, right?
Well, yeah, after serving on several Iowa Daily Press Association and Iowa Newspaper Association panels, some selections were quite obvious, some were contentious, debatable, but when you get down to, you know, taking one over the other, you've got a lot of small town news. The Shenandoah writer needed to get his Shenandoah a linebacker on a team. Otherwise, you couldn't go home and face his neighbor or whatever. But No offense to small town newspapers. They had a job to do as well. But sometimes, honestly, it came down to that.
You were using that as an example, right?
Yeah, I don't know any, I don't know the name of the Shenandoah newspaper or if one exists. So you get my point.
It was just an example, but there are quite a few of the smaller towns that, you know, they've got a guy that's a very, very good football player. And you try to get him on there, and that's when it could get contentious at times. Just saying.
There were some provincial attitudes, let's just put it that way.
Yes, there were. Yeah, and probably still are, as far as the All-State selections are concerned. But congratulations to all the area athletes that made the football All-State teams. Very deserving. And, again, a hearty congratulations from all of us. We're going to take a short break, come back, and we are going to catch up with Kevin Lehman, the coach, and we will have our off-the-glass segment. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And it is going to be warmer today, but it does come with some wind. Those winds are going to be out there around 20 to 25 miles per hour this afternoon. Temperatures, though, get into the mid to upper 40s. Later on tonight, it'll stay breezy. Clouds will start to move in. And as a result, temperatures are going to be held up to the mid to upper 30s overnight. Then tomorrow, we're going to have mostly cloudy skies. It does get warmer, though, with temperatures in the low to mid 50s. And stays windy. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Back in 1947, when young Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, the sparse utility of the war years was ready to give way to the cheer of color in fashion, furniture, and of course, jewelry. Women from Hollywood starlet to housewife glowed with colored gemstones on ear, neck, and hand. Often these beauties were received in a Hertin and Stocker box on Christmas morning. Ruby red and emerald green, blue sapphire, purple amethyst, citrine, aquamarine. Colored gemstones are again bringing cheer and joy. In fact, any one of these rare beauties would make an unforgettable holiday gift this year. So come see what's sparkling in those famous frosty windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. Corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish happy holidays to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Get in on the action with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circa Sports Iowa is where the pros play. Enjoy the highest limits, lowest takeouts, and competitive betting menus. Download, fund, and bet from anywhere in Iowa. Circa Sports Iowa. Sports betting the way it should be. Download your new bookie today. Visit CircaSports.com. Must be over 21 and present in Iowa to bet. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Growing up on a farm, the youngest of nine kids, Chris had to prove himself. And he did. In the fields and on the court. As a Regina and Simpson College basketball player, he got the nickname Shooter. And it stuck. People still call him Shooter, even now that he's a Coldwell Banker real estate professional. His work ethic, skill, resourcefulness, and 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction in the Iowa City area have made Chris Lehman the perfect realtor to buy or sell your home with. Get in touch at shootershomes.com.
Back with you on the Gym Class at 318 here on KGYM. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes with you. And taking you through the 3 o'clock hour, we are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. We are going to have our usual Thursday segment, that is Off the Glass with Coach Kevin Lehman, on a Tuesday this week due to the Thanksgiving holiday. And a big thanks to Chris Lehman, of course, who was the presenting sponsor as far as our segment is concerned. It is brought to you by Chris Lehman, a Caldwell banker and real estate professional with over 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction. Trust Chris. If you're in the market to buy or sell in Iowa City and the surrounding areas, find him online at shootershomes.com. And fresh from the Virgin Islands, although, I don't know, are you still there? Are you still enjoying 80-plus degree weather, Kevin, or are you back here at home now?
No, I'm still here. We had a little rain this morning, and I'm actually at the practices now for the women's They're going to start on Thursday. Texas A&M is in here. They're ranked 20th in the nation, and their coach is quite a character now. He's 67 years old. So, 76 years old. This will be his last year coaching for A&M.
Wow, very good. Well, hey, extended vacation in the Virgin Islands, you cannot beat that.
Well, the vacation time's over, Scott. It's been work now. We had four games yesterday capped off by Colorado State beating Northeastern in the championship. Colorado State team, Nico Medved, spent a year at Drake. That team is loaded. And then a big finish in the third-place game where Creighton beat Southern Illinois, the old Valley rivals. Creighton scored at the buzzer to win that game by two.
Who impressed you down there? You talked about the teams going in last week, and you mentioned Creighton looked very good. Besides Colorado State, obviously, and good job by Ali Farouk-Manesh as well as Nico Medved.
Had a good visit with Ali Farouk-Manesh, and they have a player, David Roddy, who set a Paradise Jam scoring record. He had 90-some points in the three games, and he credited Ali Farouk-Manesh with his teaching him the shooting stroke. Because this is a kid who is 3-for-10 from three. He's 6'5", about 250. Look, a Charles Barkley-type player, Scott. And Creighton decided they were going to guard him with their five-man, kind of stand off him. The kid hit 7 threes in that game and credited Ali Farouk-Manesh with working on his stroke. So Ali got up. I think Ali's going to – he's headed for to be a really good head coach someday. He's really doing well at Colorado State team.
We'll talk about some of the recent results, but I wanted to get into Gonzaga and UCLA tonight, Kevin. Much anticipated game out in Vegas, 8 o'clock Central Time. It's special because it's 1-2. It's special because Dick Vitale, going through cancer treatments, is going to be able to call a game. It's going to be something else tonight, isn't it?
It really is. You got a rematch of that national championship game, and Johnny Juzang's back for UCLA, and a lot of hype about Chet Holmgren, the 7-foot player from Gonzaga, is projected to be might be the number one pick. So, yeah, I really think this is great for college basketball. And I always give credit to Mark Few at Gonzaga because he'll take on all comers in November, December, and maybe he has to, Mark, because he doesn't get that much competition once he gets into league play. But during the middle of November, we're really focused on football. This is a great game to get some talk about the upcoming basketball season. And refresh my memory now. Is it Tiger Campbell, the point guard from UCLA, who has some roots in the Cedar Rapids area?
Correct. His dad played at Regis, Tony Campbell. Covered him back in the day and was born here in Iowa. And now, I, in fact, I think Tiger is probably the key component to this game tonight because he is the veteran. He is the man that makes UCLA go. Gonzaga has youngsters in their backcourt once again due to the early defections as far as the NBA is concerned. And I think if UCLA is going to win this thing tonight, they need a big game from Tiger Campbell.
Yeah, they do. And Nembhard, the point guard for Gonzaga, his younger brother, Ryan Nembhard, is the freshman point guard for Creighton. And he's the kid who hit that game winner last night. So there's some ties there with that Nembhard family. So, this is going to be a good one, guys. I just wish I could watch it, but I'm going to be here watching Northwestern practice. This is a pretty loaded women's field that we've got coming up. So, guys, it's not all fun and games down here in the Virgin Islands. You got to do a little work. And I got to tell you this, Mark. Here's the toughest decision I've had to make. In the hotel room, it's one of those little tiny refrigerators.
Yes.
So the question is, there's not enough room for the Landshark six-pack and the milk for your cereal. So one had to sit out, and I think you guys know which one I decided to cool off and which one sat out and got warm.
Can I guess?
Well, the Landshark had to be cold because I had four games yesterday. We went on the air at 2 and got back to our hotel room about midnight. So I had a couple cold Landsharks waiting for me.
Excellent. Good point. Good and but, good choice.
I had warm milk on my Wheaties this morning.
Well, yeah, we could dive into that, what happens in college sometimes. But we're here to talk basketball. Iowa with another victory last night, an easy one. Just cruised over not a great Western Michigan team, a Bronco team that's picked last in the MAC anyway. But the story again, two stories, I think. Well, Keegan Murray, obviously, because the amazing play continues for Keegan Murray, co-Big Ten player of the week this week, along with Travion Williams of Purdue. But I think also another storyline is the fact that Iowa continues to hit three-pointers. Peyton Sanford, another terrific ball game last night for the Hawkeyes, hitting threes. Chris Murray coming off the sickness also showing that he can hit that three ball from the outside as well. And I don't care who you are, you keep stroking the ball like that from beyond the arc, you're gonna end up being fine.
Well, we know Bohannon could make them. That was the big question: who else can make threes for this Iowa team? And yeah, Sanford looked really comfortable. I went to that exhibition game, and he filled up late in that game. Toussaint's, he's been showing that he can make a couple of threes. I think that's really huge for this Iowa team. The other pieces of this team seem to be coming along really nicely, and that's the question I think when you get into Big Ten play, what they're gearing up for is the absence of Garza inside. They're going to have to be more of a three-point shooting team and a team that can drive it. So you need three-point shooters to spread that defense out to open up some driving lanes for guys like Keegan Murray and some others. So this Iowa team, guys, they're a fun team to watch. They haven't been challenged yet, and they probably won't be challenged until they go to Virginia. But this, there's a lot of people nationally starting to talk a little bit about Fran McCaffrey's Iowa team.
Kevin, there's been some folks criticizing these first six games on Iowa's schedule, but I try to tell them that head coaches, Fran McCaffrey or anyone else, tailors that schedule based on the returning roster. I mean, the previous 2 years, Iowa played a super strong non-conference schedule, and again this year they're going to play Virginia, they're going to play Iowa State, they're going to play Utah State. Is that not true of what head coaches do in putting a schedule together?
Mark, you're exactly right, and it's called the psychology of a schedule. It depends on what you have coming back for experience and what you're trying, the growth of your team. So I'm with you on this one. I can see exactly why Fran McCaffrey put together this type of schedule, because he's got all these new pieces, people in new roles, especially, we've talked about contingents. Wieskamp gone, Frederick gone, Garza gone. So I know exactly what he's doing. And if you're at that level that he's at in the Big Ten, you're going to have a 20-game Big Ten schedule. As you mentioned, you got the ACC Challenge game, Iowa State. You don't have to worry about building your net in your non-conference. And here's another thing. It's kind of a detriment now, guys, as you know, because there's so much money from the Big Ten Network, ticket sales aren't what they used to be. The pressure to have huge ticket sales and big crowds in your arena, because you're going to get a huge check from the Big Ten Network and from your league office when the season ends, no matter how many people put in your stands, especially the Big Ten, who does equal sharing in that category. So it's not like the old days where you need some marquee games in your non-conference schedule for ticket sales.
Kevin Lehman, the coach joining us here, is off the glass, usually on Thursdays, but Tuesday this week due to the Thanksgiving holiday. And thanks to Kevin for joining us here today, taking time out and talking some hoops with you. You mentioned Iowa next week on Monday. They go to Charlottesville to take on Virginia. The first real test is going to be tomorrow night. Iowa State, they will take on Xavier. And that will be in New York, New Jersey. Of course, that is Jack Nungy's new team for the Xavier Musketeers. Jack's off to a great start, about 10 points a game, 7 rebounds so far for the Musketeers. Iowa State has played very well in the early going, albeit against teams of lesser ilk than Xavier. So starting tomorrow night, we're going to start to find out about our in-state teams, I believe.
Well, and this is also a Xavier team that's getting a little pub in the Big East. Because when I asked Greg McDermott, Villanova, of course, at the top, who's the other teams that are going to be good in the Big East? And Xavier is the team that you hear about constantly as taking a step up in the Big East. St. John's is another team, and you know, I know Creighton's really young but talented. So we're going to find out a lot about this Iowa State team. And don't forget now, they beat Oregon State, although it was in Hilton Coliseum, rather handily, 60-50 in that game. So they have had, they have stepped out of playing these bye games, so to speak, and been a challenge a little bit. But you know, they're showing that they can defend. The Cyclones can defend, and they're starting to make some threes. So they've already, with the number of wins they have, they're, you know, got to give TJ some credit. They're 4-0. This is a team that won two games last year. So things, I think, the building blocks are in place for this Iowa State team. And I think a lot of them are going to circle this when they're going to play Iowa on December 9th, and that's going to be in Hilton. So that in-state rivalry will be big on the schedule coming forward.
We've talked about TJ bringing in transfers and what a big component that may be. What do you know, Kevin, about the 6A player transfer from Washington State via Slovenia? Had a big game against Grambling. I think if I tried to pronounce his name, I might butcher it. But what about him?
I think the name's easier than it looks. I believe it's Kutsi. Skilled, what you'd call a 4-3 man, you know, long kid, and they liked him because he had the experience of playing in the Pac-12. You know, I went and watched him practice one day. It's he's one of those kids that he needs some really good players around him, but he's a very good complementary piece for TJ. And again, he needed some experience, so he really adds in that area too. So, you know, I kind of like the way that TJ put the pieces of his puzzle together pretty quickly. You know, we knew Brockington would be able to score for him, which he's doing. And Tyrese Hunter, even though he's not shooting it real well, the freshman point guard, he's got 24 assists. He's just 10 turnovers, which is a pretty good ratio for a freshman point guard.
Yeah, not bad anyway. And this team, the success for Iowa State is going to be a lot like everybody else. Can he hit that outside shot? Iowa State just could not hit that outside shot with consistency at all last year. Against Alabama State, they go 1-for-20, and then well over 50% in their last timeout. So somewhere in there, I think, would make T.J. Otzelberger a little bit happier, maybe toward the 40 percentile mark.
Well, Scott, I'll tell you one of the craziest things. We had some games down here that were absolute rock fights where teams could not make – I know one game, both teams combined were 0-for-14 and half. I think Colorado State goes against Creighton. They set not only a Paradise Jam record, but a school record. They hit 20 frees, 20. So that's 60 points they scored from the three-point line. There's other teams that can't throw it in the ocean right now. It's been a This is one of the strangest years I've ever seen for the ability to make shots. And you would think with the COVID being lifted and kids are in the gym more, that the shooting would be better this year than it was last year. But I'm not seeing it in the games that I've done. Another example, the Northern Iowa team, they've struggled to shoot threes as they went to Arkansas. It's just a strange year right now for ability to make open shots from the perimeter.
We talked a bit about it earlier after Iowa plays Portland State later in the week. It's a three-game stretch against Virginia and Purdue, both those games on the road, and then Illinois at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Curious about your thoughts on that three-game stretch because Purdue – totally impressive against North Carolina and Villanova. Illinois stumbled against Cincinnati. Not to discount the Iowa State and Utah State games following those, but what's in store for Iowa in these three games?
Well, Illinois also lost to Marquette. I was going to ask you guys, what has happened to the Illini? You know, this is a team everybody thought was going to be vying for the Big Ten title, and I know it's early. And I've said this a number of times, you know, this season is a marathon, not a sprint. So a lot of fans don't go into panic mode. Michigan and Illinois have both stumbled here in November in the Big Ten. Purdue has not. This is going to be Matt Painter's best team. And this is a guy that's going to be a Hall of Fame coach that doesn't have a Final Four in his resume yet. This may be the team that gets in there. This is not a good opener for the Hawkeyes to go into and play at Purdue. And then you've got Illinois back home. I think that's going to be a really fun game because you're going to have that inside Kofi Coper inside and against a Keegan Murray guy will be able to spread out the defense of Illinois. So I really like Iowa's chances when they play in Carver-Hawkeye Arena just because of the style that they play. I think they'll have a little more problems when they get on the road.
Yeah, I would agree. And how should we be concerned a little bit with the start by the Big Ten? I mean, you said it's a marathon. It's a long, long year. But Michigan did not look good against Arizona. Have had trouble shooting the ball and turned it over with a new point guard coming in. You mentioned Illinois. Rutgers losing last night at home. They've got two or three losses early in the season. It has not been a good start for the Big Ten Conference.
Well, Ohio State lost one also to add that list. But I'm going to put it in perspective. Remember how we got Pac-12 was bashed so much last year during their season? They couldn't beat anybody in non-conference play, and they put, I believe, six teams into the Sweet 16 round, or great success, of course, with UCLA, USC, Oregon, all those teams really advanced far down the road. So, yeah, it's November, guys. I think once you get in the league play and start playing those types of games, which become a real grind, this is a time to see what your team is about, play different styles. Because I talk to these coaches down here, they're getting three games in 4 days, and the women are getting three games in 3 days. And, you know, they're really trying to find out about their team and about their players and how they're going to fit into these roles and how that team's going to bond. So it's early. I mean, it's not even Thanksgiving yet, guys. So, no, I wouldn't panic about the Big Ten at this point.
Tell you, the conference that has impressed me, and you talked about earlier, has been the Big East. We've had a couple of tough losses. No, when Villanova's 3-2, but they have played a killer schedule. Yeah. UCLA and Purdue are the two losses so far. But Connecticut has been impressive. Xavier has been impressive. Marquette, other than one game, off to a very good start. You got to see Creighton. Seton Hall went in and beat Michigan. Providence went into Wisconsin, beat the Badgers. Big East is off to a really good start.
Well, the other team they talk about in the Big East is Dan Hurley's UConn team. Another team that's going to challenge Villanova for that league title. So, yeah, you're right. Big East is doing well. The ACC, I think, is the one league that has not, that maybe, you know, we got some coaches retiring there, Coach K, Roy Williams going. I kind of want to see how the ACC does because that league was not strong last year. I don't know how good it's going to be again this year. And I tell you, who's putting a lot of resources into basketball is the SEC. And I don't know if they're doing it with the football influx of football money, but you're seeing those programs, Arkansas, Alabama, Auburn, they're pumping some money into their basketball programs. Texas is going to be an SEC school if they can survive the football season.
And watch out for the West Coast Conference. St. Mary's got a late-night win over Notre Dame, and Santa Clara destroyed TCU last night. So they already got Gonzaga and BYU, and BYU laid the wood out the last time they were in action. So we're off.
Yeah, another team's going to be departing the league to jump in the Big 12. Yeah, I tell you this, though, Scott. I think the bottom of the Big 12, I'm going to throw Iowa State in there, too. It's not very good. Kansas State, TCU, Iowa State, those are not teams that are going to make any noise on the national scene.
All right. Well, enjoy part two of the Paradise Jam down there, and have a good trip, and we'll talk to you a week from Thursday. Have a great Thanksgiving, too, man, you and the fam.
You too, guys. Have a good Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us from the U.S. Virgin Islands and the Paradise Jam. Always good to talk with Kevin and talk some hoops. And, of course, when we talk hoops, it is our off-the-glass segment. It is brought to you by Coldwell Banker real estate professional Chris Lehman. And you can find out more by going to shootershomes.com. All right, Mark, we owe the folks an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update on this Tuesday. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They are located on First Avenue, Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right next to the Home Depot, behind Taco John's and across from the Lindale Mall. By the way, tomorrow, a special Wednesday edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 as we try to take Dave down and gain some ground on him before this thing gets away from us here a little bit. What we got on the scoreboard today?
That's a weekly effort, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Awards updates in college football. Tyler Linderbaum, one of three finalists for the Outland Trophy. Iowa State's Charlie Kolar, one of three finalists for the Mackey Award. Breece Hall, Iowa State running back, one of three finalists for the Doak Walker Award. And Iowa defensive coordinator Phil Parker, one of 15 finalists still left for the Broyles Award, which goes to the top assistant in college football. Speaking of college football, James Franklin and Penn State are working on a quote-unquote enhanced contract for him to remain at Penn State. Wander Franco has signed agreed to an 11-year, $182 million contract with the Rays. Scott, the shortstop, is a mere 20 years old. Down your alley, next Sunday, a week from Sunday, the NFL has flexed the Denver-Kansas City game, but that will be a Sunday night football game. And finally, we may talk about this after the break. You might want to bring some food to Jack Trice Stadium on Friday.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit. By the way, it is now official. Many different organizations on social networking talking that Penn State and James Franklin have agreed to a new 10-year contract extension. Many tentacles as far as that is concerned, because a lot of folks thought James Franklin was headed out the door at Penn State, and I think it made certain people in Ames a little bit nervous, because a lot of people thinking that that could have been one of the landing spots as far as a potential place for Matt Campbell to go. Back up in that area. Of course, he's an Ohio native. Would be interested, I'm sure, in the Penn State job. But looks like James Franklin is going to stay put in Happy Valley for a while.
Yeah, it does. 10 years is a long time commitment for both sides. And we know those things fall apart sometimes. But as of right now, Penn State has made a commitment, and so has James Franklin.
No doubt. No doubt. And by the way, White Sox signing Kendall Graveman, free agent relief pitcher. Good signing for the Chicago White Sox here in the offseason. Now, if they can just play baseball next year. Sounds like Craig Kimball probably on his way out of Chicago, though, which is fine. That's fine. Graveman younger and I think at a better part of his career right now. But we'll see how that all plays out. Won't mean a thing if they don't get on the diamond next year, though. Right, Mark?
That is correct. We'll see what happens there.
All right. Going to take a break, come back, and have more of the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. So stay with us more after this right here on KGYM.
You hear the name Alexander Lumber and you think, well, lumber. But Alexander Lumber offers lots of other things too. Their design services can help you bring together any space. They offer free estimates on any size project too, from a single garage to a custom home. And Alexander Lumber carries a broad range of windows, doors, and cabinets to bring your full vision to life. If you don't see what you're looking for, just ask. Your next project starts at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander in Iowa City.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency, excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Get in on the action with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circa Sports Iowa is where the pros play. Enjoy the highest limits, lowest takeouts, and competitive betting menus. Download, fund, and bet from anywhere in Iowa. Circa Sports Iowa. Sports betting the way it should be. Download your new bookie today. Visit CircaSports.com. Must be over 21 and present in Iowa to bet. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the lakes are stocked with ice-cold Dr. Pepper, and the autumn winds rustle with the sweet smell of football glory.
And Dr. Pepper.
It's a land flowing with onion dip, where even the food pyramid is shaped like a hot dog.
Football.
Where every yard gained is a yard worth celebrating, and every celebration is beyond excessive.
With ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Return to glory this season with Fansville by Dr. Pepper. Grab some today.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night.
There's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Back in the gym class, this Tuesday edition here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. And a reminder that the gym has partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or a fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. So submit your information at least 60 days prior to the event. And if selected, your event will be featured on the air and online. Go to KGYMradio.com for more information and click on Community MVP. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That will come your way from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. And then we'll be back with you for the final edition of our local programming coming up starting tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Mark Ironside will join us as we will talk and look back at Iowa and Princeton. And look ahead to this weekend. Take a look at the first big week of college wrestling. You and I with an announcement today, Mark, as the Panthers have capped the season tickets for the West Gym and Panther Wrestling this year. I guess that's good news and bad news up and down the line. But anyway, we'll talk with Mark coming up tomorrow, and then we will have the Emil's Hideaway pick six. In addition, an addendum to your scoreboard, Mark, from our friend Matt, the Loras women's soccer team in the NCAA Division III Final Four. There you go.
I looked at the roster. There's three or four metro area players, some other area players, a couple Xavier, a couple Lindmar players on that team. So good luck going forward.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. 319-366-1600. We'll talk a little bit about Iowa and Nebraska. But we wanted to talk about this a little bit. Interesting situation developing in Ames coming up for the Black Friday game against TCU this Friday. It'll be senior day for a lot of terrific seniors that will play their final game at Jack Trice Stadium. I don't know if I've ever heard this happening before. In fact, I haven't heard of this happening before as far as major college football or just any major sports.
are concerned. But we're going to have it at Ames coming up on Friday, a very unique situation as far as concessions are concerned.
Indeed. Iowa State has announced that there will be limited concessions open at Jack Trice Stadium for Friday's game because its vendor, Iowa State's vendor for concession stands, is having a hard time finding workers because of the Thanksgiving holiday and how it falls the day before this Iowa State game. So consequently, Iowa State is going to allow fans to bring in their own, they said snacks. You know, my snack might be your meal, Scott. I don't know. But, and I understand a clear bag policy, and Iowa State fans, correct me if I'm wrong. I looked into it. It's like a 12-inch by 12-inch container or bag that is allowed. You can bring into the stadium. My question is, what are you taking in? A turkey sandwich?
I'm taking the turkey leg.
A turkey leg? On the other hand, this is a 3:30 game, and you will have been in the tailgate for 2, 3, 4 hours with plenty of food. Who needs food? And then when you're done, you go back to your tailgate or go down the road and grab something to eat. I don't know that you need a whole meal in that 12-inch by 12-inch bag. But what are you going to put in there, folks?
319-366-1600. What are you bringing in Friday at Jack Trice Stadium? What constitutes a snack? I'm sure what they're thinking is, you know, a banana, granola bar, something like that. But again, like you talked about, one person's snack is another person's meal. You're going to see, I think, people start to get a little bit creative as far as bringing in things into Jack Trice Stadium. And in all seriousness, is this something that you could see more and more in the future as far as concessions and college stadiums, professional stadiums? You don't want to lose out on all that money. We know that. But, you know, in this situation, we'll see. We've got a lot of very interesting responses. Evan in North Liberty says this is nothing new. They did it all last season during COVID when no concessions were open. Well, that was a very limited crowd, though. Very limited crowd. 66.
Yeah, you're talking about full stadiums and very little concession availability. COVID was different.
66-65. Frog legs. Cyclone Tim, how dare you? Says booze. Thanksgiving leftovers, 91-68, lets us know. That's what I was thinking. First thing I thought of, you could have a Thanksgiving meal while watching the Cyclones on Friday. You could just do it all over again with your Thanksgiving leftovers. Am I wrong? Have one person bring in some stuffing. You know, don't ask me how you're getting in apple pie, but people can get creative. Or pumpkin pie, whatever your pie choice is. No doubt about that. Liquid or solid. What will constitute not being allowed to be brought in to the stadium?
Well, the green bean casserole will get a little messy, wouldn't it?
I would think so. Stuffing, I think you can get away with stuffing.
I think you can. But once again, I mean, you will be at a tailgate during lunchtime, presumably. I don't know that I'd need to bring anything into the stadium. But if you feel compelled, what are you going to bring in? Don't tell me bananas and apples and that sort of thing.
Some will. Very few, though. Darren makes a great point. I would hate to be the one that has to sweep up after the game. Darren, you are 100% spot on as far as that situation is concerned. Yes, 34-39 also on a liquid diet. Evan, I don't know about chili. We've had a couple people say chili. Yeah, and 1307, of course, with the correct answer of the day, they are going to DoorDash Hickory Park.
Yes, indeed.
That, Well, DoorDash Hickory Park to your tailgate and then take it on in. I think 1307 is definitely on to something as far as taking, you know, provisions into Jack Trice for the game coming up on Friday.
Maybe you practice your liquid diet at the tailgate and then plan on eating mid-afternoon with your 12-inch by 12-inch bag and its contents. I don't know.
You can play this a lot of different ways. 319-366-1600 as Iowa State goes for win number 7 and try to improve their bowl chances. We'll have a little bit of time to talk Iowa and Nebraska and Iowa State and TCU coming up on Black Friday, those games on Friday tomorrow. But just to kind of touch upon what Kirk Ferentz had to say today and a little bit about Iowa and Nebraska, Mark. Sounds as though Matt Hankins is going to be out. Terry Roberts, maybe. Mason Richmond, perhaps. Jack Kerner looking good as far as getting into the game for Iowa coming up on Friday in their battle in Lincoln against the Nebraska Cornhuskers. It's a series that Iowa's dominated as of late, really. Nebraska has not won since 2014 as far as this matchup is concerned. And he won final trophy on the line, the Heroes Trophy, of course. And early in the week anyway, Mark, without your starting quarterback for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, I don't know. I think it's going to be rough sledding. I thought Nebraska had a pretty good chance to possibly eke this game out with Adrian Martinez. Scott Frost's going to have to get real creative, and I think Nebraska is going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at Iowa coming up on Friday, and that is a scary game prep if you're the Iowa coaching staff.
Iowa's mantra should be smothers. Next guy in, apparently, is going to be Logan Smothers. Heinrich Harburg, who's yet to play a down of college football, getting some number one reps this week as well. But Smothers has been announced as the starter. He's not as elusive as Adrian Martinez. He's got small sample size, which means a small film look for Iowa. He did some mop-up duty in the Fordham game earlier in this year. He's 7 out of 11. Had a series or two against Wisconsin and Michigan State and actually looked pretty good. So this is going to be a key component of this game to watch.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. If you're a Nebraska fan, you cannot fall behind in this thing. If you're an Iowa fan, yeah, you want to take it to the Huskers, punch them in the mouth early, and see if they can recover without their starting quarterback. And I think those are going to be some of the things I'm going to be looking at on Friday at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. Should be a very interesting game as Iowa looks for win number 10. 10-2 season. Not sure a lot of people thought that was going to be the case going into the year. With the bowl game in the offing, this is an Iowa team with a chance to put 11 games in the win column. That would be a terrific feather in the cap of Kirk Ferentz. All right, Mark, we'll do her tomorrow. Have a great night.
We'll do. We'll talk to you then.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn comes your way next from 4 o'clock. Until 6 o'clock, don't forget high school girls basketball coming up tonight. Steve Dozier and I will be at Xavier on CRM Live Sports. It'll be Xavier entertaining Davenport Assumption about 7:20 tonight on CRM Live Sports, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Mark Ironside will join us at that time.
Kirk Herbstreit here. You know, we can't all be college football national champs, but we can be an Eckrich National Tailgate Champion. You just need Eckrich Smoked Sausage and to show how you do you every game day. Do you go all